the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with David Dawson and Damian Collado. Happy Friday, guys.
Beautiful Friday morning, she said. Where do you live?
Gabby's got a...
Hey, I woke up this morning.
Friday morning.
Yes. Okay. I understand every day is a beautiful day.
But when you step outside, you're not going to see beauty.
Mm-mm. You know, it was pretty rough this morning.
It was rough.
That's all right. We're here. As Gabby says, and that's beautiful. So I'm
you know
touched,
what?
Gabby.
Yeah. If your feet hit the ground and you are healthy and you are alive, it's a beautiful day.
Amen.
And
unless those feet hit a puddle.
Going through.
Boy, you
know
just,
what?
You just,
rain is a good thing. Have you heard that song? Rain is a good thing. Rain is a good thing.
Okay. Well, we'll let
Debbie
the rain continue.
After he prays. He'll feel better after he prays.
Yeah, that's right. Let's start out with a prayer on this Friday morning in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Let us take inspiration from St. Nicholas Owen to pray for the gift of courage and never give in to despair. May we dare to stand up for the truth when those that surround us are swayed by cowardice and fear. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
St. Nicholas Owen, pray for us.
Pray for us. And please help us with positivity and gratefulness this morning. you guys, or a nap, or another cup of coffee, but we have a great show for you today. I have been up at 7 after.
Me too, but
Catherine
Hunter. 3 hours.
Yeah, you cheerful people.
You guys, we need to hurry up so we can get a Damien's weather report. All right. 7 after, Catherine Weider joins us. She's a communications coordinator of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. She's talking about the upcoming downtown Way of the Cross happening in the capital city. We'll get details on that. Father Greg Marquis joins us in 18 minutes. He's a head chaplain over at St. Thomas Aquinas College in Northfield, Massachusetts. Today we are talking about the Camino de Santiago. And I know a lot of people have done this Camino, but also who haven't and want to do it. So we'll get details on this book and how you can find a little bit more information about this wonderful pilgrimage. Mm. In 35 minutes, Michelle Schroeder joins Damian and David in the Baton Rouge studio. She's over at Our Lady of Mercy Catholic Church in Baton Rouge, and she is going to be talking about her handy little guide to confession. So looking forward to Michelle joining us in studio. And in 48 minutes, Dr. George Saramuiga joins us. He's a Catholic author and former Air Force physician. He's going to be talking about his Lead with Love daily devotion. So looking forward to the wonderful guests we have today on this Friday. And
it's
Damian.
Beautiful Friday.
Beautiful.
Looking forward to your weather report.
We all woke up to rain. Let's just put it that way. And if you're waking up now, you're still waking up to rain. And thunderstorms this morning. The good news is most of it's going to be clearing out and the wet stuff will be out of the Baton Rouge area within the next hour or so. And those of you living in Home of Thibodeau, New Orleans, or the North Shore, all the rain should be gone before lunchtime. Winds are shifting out of the west northwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour. The high today should be 75, the low 55. Tomorrow and Sunday, no rain. That's the real good news. Highs are going to be in the mid-70s, partly cloudy skies, plenty of sunshine. Come Monday, though, spring break begins for a lot of students. And they're going to see a 70% chance of rain in the forecast with a high of 80. Temperatures in and around the area right now, 56 in Covington, 57 in Baton Rouge, 62 in Houma Thibodeau. In Biloxi, it's 58. And in the Crescent City, 63. It's Wake Up.
Good Friday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker. Today's gospel is taken from John chapter 10. The Jews picked up rocks to stone Jesus. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from my Father. For which of these are you trying to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "We are not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy. You, a man, are making yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you were gods'? If it calls them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, can you say that the one whom the Father has consecrated and sent into the world blasphemes because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not perform my Father's works, do not believe me. But if I perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." Then they tried again to arrest him, but he escaped from their power. He went back across the Jordan to the place where John first baptized, and there he remained. Many came to him and said, "John performed no sign, but everything John said about this man was true." And many there began to believe in him.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. It's 8 past the hour. I'm David Dawson, along with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. And right now we have Catherine Weidert. She's the communications coordinator, Damian. How's that? With the Diocese of the Baton Rouge Catholic Charities. Wow. Hey, Catherine.
Good morning. Well, how are y'all this morning?
Fine.
He didn't have his coffee yet, Catherine. Forgive him. Yeah,
Damian depressed me earlier, we'll improve. But look, hey, let's talk. You got a Way of the Cross coming up, not this Friday, but on Good Friday, next Friday, right?
Correct. It starts at 9 a.m., and mm-hmm. we start at the steps of the cathedral in downtown Baton Rouge, St. Joseph Cathedral. And what we do is we walk around the Capitol grounds. We travel 14 stations all the way up to the state capitol and then back down to the cathedral.
To the cathedral, right.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And we reflect on how Christ's passion is really present in today's injustices that some of our neighbors face, like hunger and poverty and sanctity of life, and we reflect on that, and it's a beautiful, beautiful event.
It's been going on for many years, right? I mean, how many years has this been going on?
Many a years. I came in December 2020, and it's been going on much longer than before I got here.
Yeah, so. I just know I can reflect back. I remember seeing it, pictures of it and such, on the front page of our newspaper here in Baton Rouge, right?
You know, it's a worthwhile event to attend, mm-hmm. especially if you love the Stations of the Cross. Catherine, share with everyone about each station, because you said social injustices. That's usually what takes place at each station, like you have in the past, I'm guessing.
Yes. So let me see.
I know it involves other.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I mean, like, the poor.
Yeah.
The hungry. Go ahead.
The first one is reflective of sanctity of life.
Okay.
So we'll have someone from our maternity and adoption, from Catholic Charities Maternity and Adoption Program, do the reading for that one. The next one is poverty and homelessness, and we have Michael Acaldo from St. Vincent de Paul joining us.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And he'll be reading for that. The third is hunger and food insecurity, and then we go on to family life and domestic violence. We typically have someone from IRIS, which is in Baton Rouge, a domestic violence center out here. And then we focus on labor and rights of workers. We talk about racism and the common good. We reflect on refugees and immigrants. We talk about human trafficking, and we have the hospitality sisters from Metanoia Manor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then we go on to care of God's creation, and we talk about the environment and all of that. Dignity of the elderly and disabled, health care, imprisonment and the death penalty.
My goodness.
Addictive disorders and mental health. And then we end with young people and our hope for the future. So ends on like a positive note of, we pray for the future and for our youth and our children and the next generation, that hopefully, you know, they can eliminate some of these injustices.
Sure, sure. So when we go, it's going to be downtown. Where does it begin? And this is downtown Baton Rouge. I'm sorry, downtown Baton Rouge. Where does it begin?
Downtown Baton Rouge, we start on the steps of the St. Joseph Cathedral.
Okay.
If it's raining, so last year it rained, so we were inside the cathedral, which I heard was one of the first years that we've ever had to do that. So hopefully we're praying for no rain this year. And we travel, it ends about, we end before 10:30. So, you know, we make a big circle basically, and we land back at the steps of the cathedral about 10:30.
Okay. So just traveling throughout to downtown Baton Rouge then is what we're doing.
Yes.
Okay.
The whole trek is about how long, Catherine? Do you know?
I don't know the exact mileage. I was trying to map it out on Google Maps earlier and try and figure it out. But once you're walking it, it really, you
it's
know,
easy
it doesn't
to walk.
Feel that long. Where it is, it is. Wear comfortable shoes.
Sure.
Children are invited. You know, you're welcome to bring kids. Any person of any faith.
Right. And where it's located, there's plenty of parking. If you're going to be at the cathedral, they have the parking garages there, and they have plenty of parking all around there, too. So that is a good thing. And what also you're saying is it starts at 9 and it ends at 10:30. Mm-hmm. This is just the beginning of your Good Friday. What a great way to start it, right? You know, and in prayer and devotion, witnessing, actually, and then walking the journey, if you will, you know.
Yeah, and I love the fact that the stations represent what we're experiencing today,
right now.
The challenges, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Catherine, this is great. Right. Okay, so this is going to take place downtown Baton Rouge, and that is that St. Joseph's Cathedral on Main Street there. Yeah. It starts at 9 a.m., and that is on Good Friday.
Yeah.
What a great way to do that.
And Bishop...
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, Bishop Duke will be there as well, and we'll be leading it. So, like I said, we're praying for good weather, and we hope to have a lot of people come out and really start their Good Friday with a reflection and focusing on that. Yeah.
Catherine Wider, thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward
thank
to it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. God bless. And we come back. Damien's going to be talking to Father Greg Markey about a new book, Discovering the Camino de Santiago. It's 15 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 22nd. Today we celebrate Saint Nicholas Owen. Nicholas Owen was a humble artisan who lived in England during the so-called penal times of 1559 to 1829, when Catholics were punished for practicing their faith. For almost 20 years, he used his skills to build secret hiding places for priests throughout the country. Working as both architect and builder, he constructed hiding places that went undetected by English raiders. Nicholas was a genius at finding and creating places of safety, subterranean passages, small spaces between walls, impenetrable recesses. He was fortified by receiving Eucharist daily. After many years of going about his unusual and dangerous work, Nicholas became a Jesuit lay brother, although, for obvious reasons, his connection with the Jesuits had to be kept secret. After a number of narrow escapes, he was finally caught in 1594. Despite brutal torture, Nicholas refused to disclose the names of other Catholics. He was released and resumed his work, but was arrested again in 1606. This time, after even more brutal torture, Nicholas suffered an agonizing death. He was canonized in 1970 as one of the 40 martyrs of England and Wales. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Almost 19 after the hour on Wake Up this Friday morning, a wet one, but it's going to clear out and we're going to have a beautiful weekend. Damien Collado along with David Dawson, Gabby Smith, and our guest right now, Father Greg Markey. He is the head chaplain and actually the first chaplain at Thomas Aquinas College in Massachusetts, and he's here to talk about pilgrimages as well as his new book, Discovering the Camino de Santiago. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. Great to have you on my phone this morning.
Well, great to have you on our show. And what's interesting, we hear about the Way of St. James all the time, but many of us don't make the trek. So what inspired you? And tell us a little bit about the book. What is contained in the book?
Sure. Yeah, I did the Camino in Thanksgiving for the anniversary of my priesthood, to thank God for being a priest and for the many good years of ministry he'd given me, and in reparation for I failed in my ministry, and to walk it. The Way of St. James is a pilgrimage route that going back to as far as the 800s when St. James's tomb was rediscovered. And from that time, there's always been thousands and thousands and millions of pilgrims who have always trekked to his tomb to pray, to do penance, to have prayers answered. And so I did it in Thanksgiving and in reparation, and met a lot of people on the journey. My book is basically the discussions that I had along the way. I wore my collar, my Roman collar, along the way, and as any priest will tell you, when you wear your Roman collar in public, it's an invitation that says, come and talk to me about God.
That's right.
People from all over the world were coming up and talking to me and saying what their vision is of life. And right now, it may be surprising that although it's an ancient Catholic pilgrimage, it may be surprising for people to hear that the majority of the people who are doing the Camino today, and there are hundreds of thousands every year, are not Catholic.
Really?
Or if they are Catholic, they're non-practicing. They're just people who are looking for something. They're in search for something in their life that's missing. They're going through a crisis. Somebody died. They're getting over drug addiction, or they're looking for something. They're at a career crossroads, and they're looking for something. So they say, I'm going to walk the Camino de Santiago. And so there's a great opportunity as a priest, and really for anyone who loves our Lord, to go and walk the Camino and to evangelize along the way, because that's what you do in the Camino. You walk on dry, dusty roads, over mountains, through brooks and streams and cities, and you talk to people about, what do you think about life? Why are we here? What happens after death? Why is there suffering in the world? What does it mean to live the good life? And it's along those dusty roads, many, many good conversations happened to me. And in the end, I started writing them down, all these conversations with people around the world, and it turned into a book.
What is one of the primary conversations that stood out to you? I know you have many in the book, but inspire us to want to buy the book. Tell us one of the stories.
Maybe one of the stories was in a Canadian couple that was educated. The couple was college educated. They were living together. They had no faith. They were very secular, good people. And we hit it off walking along a number of different days on the Camino. And after a while, I was able to talk to them about their situation. And they were both divorced and remarried. And they both went through a difficult divorce and remarriage. And over dinner one night, I was able to explain to them that breaking God's commandments like this is not going to bring you happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ultimately hurtful for your soul. And it was a difficult conversation, but we had trust at that point, and they heard what I had to say, and it was a very, I think, a healthy conversation. And the long and short of it was, I lost track with them, and maybe about 3 weeks later, I ran into the woman, the Canadian woman, in the streets of Santiago. It's one of the great joys of the Camino is when you run to other pilgrims that you met along the way. And she showed me the miraculous medal that I gave her, and she was very happy. And I said, well, where's the other gentleman? She said, well, you know, Father, we talked about what you told us, and we decided that we were going to break up because it wasn't God's will for us to be together.
Oh, wow.
And they said, we're going to try to follow the Lord more faithfully now, and we're going to try to get on with our lives and bring healing in other ways to our lives that need to happen without breaking God's commandments.
Yeah, so somewhat of a different happy ending in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow,
exactly.
That's beautiful.
When people are willing to change their lives. And it was to their credit, you know. A lot of people are great people out there. They just never had somebody tell them the truth in a merciful way, and they heard it to their credit, and God bless them. They made a change in their life.
We're talking to Father Greg Markey. He, in his new book, Discovering the Camino de Santiago, and his trek. Did you make the entire 500-mile trek?
I did. You know, to tell you the truth, it's 496 miles. But I got lost at more than once, and I'm sure so you're right, but I was lost. I made up this last 4 miles.
He went more than 500 miles.
He may as well round up at 496. That's what I always say.
Goodness.
So what, and you gave us your reason and your purpose. So what changed in you?
I think I grew to understand how much God is in control, which is one of the great lessons. You know, the Camino is an analogy for life itself. We're all on a journey towards our Father's house.
Yeah.
And ultimately, God's in control of our lives, and there's a lot of abandonment every day we need to give to God that, all right, you're in control, not me, as much as I'm trying to control everything. And in the Camino, all kinds of instances pop up, surprises, accidents. I twisted my ankle at one point. And,
oh, man.
You know, all along the way, things get on beyond your control, and but at the end, God says, I got you. I'm in control, not you.
Wow.
And it was a great experience to really have to let go and let God in those instances, and really trusting, oh, he's in control, and things are going to work out.
Yeah.
And they have.
Him. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Father Greg, this is David jumping in here. How long does that take? How long did it take you to do that
question.
Trek?
Yep.
Yeah, it took me 34 days.
Okay.
And I rested there was only one day that I didn't walk at all. And so it was 34 days. Now, some people can do it quicker, some people do it slower. But it's generally around that low 30s that most people do it, and that's an average of about somewhere between 15, maybe 20 miles a day.
Okay.
On the Camino.
So where do you stay?
You just go at a leisurely pace.
Where do you sleep? Where do you stay overnight, or do you?
They, for Spain, this is such an ancient pilgrimage. They have an entire network of hostels in all the little villages and towns and cities, where they have this whole system where you just show up in the afternoon. They have all the beds and the cots there and showers and things.
Gosh.
You go in, you sleep, and you get out. They want you out by 7 or 8 in the morning, and you go to the next journey, and then you whatever town or village you find yourself in, there are more hostels there.
Wow.
So it's an entire network.
Okay.
Yeah, and you have to travel light.
Yeah.
You need to make that point clear, right, Father?
Yeah, if you don't learn that in the beginning, you're in trouble.
You are. Yeah, don't be bringing a couple sets of luggage. Yeah, you can forget it. Yeah. But and that's the other thing. It's a little rough, to say the least, but it does humble you along the way, doesn't it?
It does, and you realize that we're all in this together. Like I said, there's a lot of people out there on the Camino without faith, and there are people really of a lot of different ages, too. And in the end, even though I was a priest, we're all in this together. We're all talking about how your feet holding up, how's this holding up. We all look out for one another. There's a real bond that occurs on the Camino with all the other pilgrims that we're on this together.
Now,
again, which is a great analogy for life.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. It is a great analogy for life. Yes. And people do not have to make the entire 500 miles. There's different versions of the Camino, right?
That's correct. Thank you for bringing that up. There are actually a lot of different routes. Some that start down in Portugal. Some of them start way up in different parts of Europe, or as far as Ireland and England and Germany and Italy. Mm. But there, even if you're doing the main route, which is what I did, the Camino Frances, you can start a week out, 2 weeks out. And in order to get the official certificate as an official pilgrim, you have to do it at least from 100 kilometers out, which is a little town called Sarria. You have to at least start from there, which is just a bit short of a week walking.
That's not bad. And how much does it cost, or does it cost anything? You just show up at a starting point and take off. How does that work?
Yeah, it's basically it. It's you just start, you go to a starting point and you start walking. The hostels each night, you do have to pay for those, but it's only about €5 a night.
Oh, not bad.
It's very it's basic accommodations, and then in the little villages and towns, they also have Camino meals, which is basically pretty inexpensive. It's about €8 or €10, which includes a main meal, a salad, fruit, dessert, a bottle of water, a bottle of wine, and and that's about 8 or 10 euros a night.
Fancy. Now that was before inflation, my father. No, look, I'm sorry. We're out of time, but we are talking to Father Greg Markey. By the way, congratulations! I think this is going to be your 25th year of ordination, right?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much.
Wonderful.
Great privilege to be a priest.
And keep being a good chaplain at St. Thomas Aquinas.
Okay, thanks so much. God bless you.
God bless you. All righty, folks. It is 30 after the hour, and we are so glad you're with us. We've got more coming your way on Wake Up.
Past the hour, you are tuning your heart to the truth. We're kind of moving in different positions here this morning, and so I'm looking at the wrong cameras and everything. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith, Damian Collada, and right now I am joined by Michelle Schroeder. Michelle lives here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and she has written some delightful books. One that I keep giving away, The Handy Little Guide to Adoration. Michelle, welcome.
Thank you.
I tell you what, let's move you a lot closer to that microphone. Sure. There we go, because it sounds like you're in another room altogether.
Okay.
Anyway, this is a wonderful little book about adoration, and I love it because it's humble. It's from a regular person's viewpoint of how to do that. You did the same thing with confession.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Well, confession is a big stumbling block, not only for new Catholics, people coming into the faith, mm-hmm. but for those of us who are cradle Catholics.
Yeah, that's true.
It can really, really keep us from enjoying the fullness of God's love and the fullness of the church.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of folks that we know. You and I have talked to people and such, and it's like, I haven't been in years.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Does this approach that?
Absolutely, okay. Because at one point in my life, I was one of those people.
Though you skipped a few years?
Yes.
Okay.
And this book really does try to address the roadblocks that we put up. Mm-hmm. The fear, the concern, the pride. Pride's a big one.
Yeah.
And a lot of us are, you know, we're fine with telling God, oh, I'm so sorry. What's hard is to say it to another person, to say it out loud.
Yes, yes.
But that's also, that's the work we have to do, right? Jesus did the hard part. He did all the heavy lifting for us.
So does this help you get over that? Because, I mean, look, there is a certain amount of shame. Of course, though. That's that's what sin does, right?
Yep.
So what does this help us to say, okay, I'm going in? How does this kind of motivate us?
I think so. Okay. I hope so.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things a lot of people feel like the priest is going to judge them or remember what they said. Mm-hmm. The priest, bless their hearts, are hearing so many confessions. They are not going to look at you if they pass you on the street or see you on Sunday Mass.
They're not
going to
remember,
Mass.
Are they?
They're not going to remember.
Right, right.
God, not only does he give them a special grace to kind of not remember, but
I've heard it's called divine amnesia.
Yes.
Yes.
But, you know, they're just so busy and they hear so many confessions.
Yeah.
None of us are going to tell them anything they haven't heard before.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we have to just, in some ways, just get over it and do it. It's a little bit like ripping a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
But this book does try to address some of the common things. Some people have had bad experiences in confession, like going back to when they were a little kid.
Yeah. You mean like the priest fussing at them?
Right. Like, aww. Especially little kids when they're, you know,
they're sensitive to
They're sensitive. Mm-hmm. And some people hold on to that stuff. So we try to, you know, I try to address in the book all of those different types of issues.
Well, you know, getting back to you were talking about, and it's something that really helps folks relate, because you said yourself you skipped quite a few years.
Yes.
Okay. For the reasons you even say the reasons why and everything?
Well, not really in a lot of detail on that, but I do talk about, you know, a little bit what the reality that brought me back is we can skip confession, but we can't skip judgment.
Yes,
so, at some point, we have to, you know, face the music.
Yeah.
And I think realizing what's really at stake, mm-hmm. and that it's your soul, and this is how we reconcile to God.
Sure.
And not just to God, but to the church, and that's really important too.
So, because it had been quite a few years, I know folks, and I've talked to folks and everything that says, I haven't been since high school, or I haven't been since I was a child. It's been 30 years, it's been 40 years and everything. What did you do when you went back after skipping, I don't know how many years you skipped, but how do you do that? Because that is probably the biggest obstacle.
You know? Absolutely. It's critical, whether it's been years or months, mm-hmm. to do an examination of conscience.
Okay.
And there are apps, there are booklets, there are all kinds of things that have questions you can ask yourself and things you can delve into. The last thing you want to do is, if you work up the courage, if you're afraid to go, you don't want to go and then, you know, like, not really do it, you know.
In other words, you want to hold stuff back?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, I think it's really critical to do that examination. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if it's been a really long time, you might try to hit all the high points, you know, name the biggest sins, and then kind of get that out of the way so you can focus on other things.
I mean, because I can imagine I'd be having to bring a notebook in there, and everybody else in line is like, yep, sorry, guys, you're not coming in for an hour. Or, you know. No. Go ahead, Gabby.
That's true, though. No, I always do that, and I think it makes a priest nervous, or like, you know, shred that or delete that. I always have like notes with me because I don't want to mess up, you know what I mean? And I want to make sure I have everything written down. I think it was from my second grade teacher to say this, and then your sins.
Right.
So I think that's handy, Michelle, to have that.
Well, and really, you know, if you do honestly forget something, which sometimes is going to happen, mm-hmm. God's not going to hold that against you, but it helps us, I think, mentally to really feel like we've cleaned the slate all the way.
It does.
When we say everything.
Mm-hmm. That happened to me once. I had actually forgotten something, and it was important. I went back in. Of course, I was at a place where I could just go right back in.
Right.
Not jump back in line or something like that. But I went back in. It was interesting. But what inspired you to do this? What inspired you to write this book?
Well, really talking to friends, my own experience, mm-hmm. first of all, and then talking to friends who were really struggling with going to confession.
Right.
And when I went back, and now, you know, I go really frequently, but I had friends who were still just terrified, you know, as adults, as people who were, you know, mm-hmm. practicing their faith, but they were just... they couldn't do it.
Yes.
So I was praying about it, and this is what God told me to do. So
this is everybody's. It's one of the most important sacraments that we have.
Absolutely.
Yet it's everybody's biggest obstacle, isn't it?
Well, a lot of times because we only think about the part we're doing.
Yes.
I think we look at it as an obstacle because we're not focusing on what we're getting from it,
mm-hmm.
which is not only forgiveness and absolution, but God's grace.
God's grace, yes.
And that helps strengthen us to avoid sin. It helps strengthen us in every aspect of our lives and our faith. So when we actually go through, that's why we don't just say, sorry, God. As Catholics, when we actually go through and receive this sacrament, we are enabling God to permeate us with His grace
and heal us.
And heal us.
I've been told it's a hospital.
It's one of the sacraments of healing.
I mean, and I know that it has helped a lot of people out. I mean, you can spend a whole lot of money going to a psychiatrist when we have something, you know, that's a lot less expensive and just as thorough and just as cleansing, isn't it? So, in the last minute we have here, what would you say to encourage somebody who hasn't been in a while?
I would say pray about it.
Yeah.
Ask God to give you the strength, the grace you need to get over whatever it is that's preventing you from going. And to really try to think about and identify what is preventing you.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you pray about that, if you take that to the Lord, He is not trying to trip us up here. He wants us to do this. So He's going to help us in any way as long as we ask and we're open to it. Mm-hmm. He'll really guide us, but and then part of it is you know, it's one of those things we have to do as Catholics.
It is.
At least once a year. So.
And this is a great time of year. This is very timely that you're here. Mm-hmm. I think it is so important, especially this time of year. Hey, let's make it a good Easter. Let's make it a great Easter. And going through that would be so enriching, I can imagine, for a lot of us.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of churches have extended times for confession at this time of year. So
I would fully take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, how does one get your book?
So it's published by Our Sunday Visitor. Yep. You can go to their website, several Catholic bookstores also.
They're little books, and they're
an easy read.
Yes. But, Michelle, thank you. You have other little books that we're going to talk about hopefully in the future.
Great.
So, all right.
Thank you.
All right. It is the bottom of the hour on Wake Up. Thank you. We will be back shortly.
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Clotto and David Dawson. And hey, today is the last Friday before Good Friday, which means this is the last day for many fish fries, seafood dinners, those Lenten dinners.
You're right.
So if you want to do that, get to that. Also, Way of the Cross devotions. Usually this afternoon they'll have that. And if you haven't been able to make one, today might be the last day for you to do that for this Lent, because Holy Week starts next week as well. We will be updating you on some special programming that we have next week. It will look a little different, so take a look at our social media accounts later on next week as we update you on upcoming Masses like the Chrism Mass.
Oh, yes.
We have on Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday. Lots of things will change, and your favorite programming might be looking a little bit different. So
definitely take a
look at our social media account.
Yeah, Good Friday is just wonderful. Wait till you hear what we have on Good Friday. One of my favorites is the seven words of from the cross of Christ. And it's done by Bishop Barron. Well, it's done from two different people, but it's one is in the morning and one is in the evening, but all throughout Good Friday. It's just beautiful. And then, of course, Holy Saturday as well.
Yes.
You know, so the programming is rich. And I mean, it is great just to have it on. You know, to make Easter more fulfilling. So I can't recommend it.
Well,
enough.
And I want to appreciate. So Jeff Blackwell sent me the update since he is in charge of programming. So
yes,
starting on Tuesday, March 26th at noon, you can hear a 1-hour presentation of the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, Lent at Ephesus. That's on Tuesday, March 26th at noon. If you are not familiar with that, then maybe it's a good opportunity to go and take a look and tune in and
kind
of get a feel for that as well.
Yes.
Start your Holy Week off
with angels
right
singing.
On Tuesday, March 26th.
Like.
Yeah. Feel like you're in heaven already.
On
Holy Thursday, March 28th at noon, you can enjoy the original orchestral composition of the Way of the Cross by Jamie Diliberto. He's a local musician.
Yes, he is.
This program features Archbishop Gregory Amond of the Archdiocese of New Orleans and over a dozen priests from the Archdiocese. We play this every year, and it is really cool to listen to. That's on Holy Thursday at noon. And please continue to stay tuned throughout the Triduum for special Masses, meditations, and choral performances from the National Basilica in Washington, D.C. We will also bring you live events from the Pope, from Pope Francis, over at St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City. So, like I said, take a look at our social media. But, Dave, that's one of the important things. We look forward to this every year.
Yeah.
And Nicole Jones said the other day with the Diocese of Baton Rouge, this is almost the height of our faith, right?
Next week. It is.
And it's something that we may look forward to throughout the year, but this is what it builds up all to this moment.
It does.
As well.
I can't recommend attending the Triduum enough. You know, you talk about getting into the Passion and the death and the resurrection, you know, how the Mass begins on Good Friday. I'm sorry. On Holy Thursday, the Mass begins and the Mass ends on Sunday, for the Easter Mass. That's how it ends. It's just beautiful how it just flows like that. So I can't recommend it enough. And you talk about getting into this season, and I tell you, I just feel like I'm glowing days afterwards. You know, just beautiful.
Yeah,
just beautiful. Well,
and it's I think it's also important, too, because I know that the Good Friday service is right in the middle of the day, and a lot of people have to work on Good Friday, a lot of people off. But taking the time to actually go and attend, maybe, if you have that opportunity to do that, highly recommend. I actually didn't start doing that until a few years ago, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. And that's something that I really enjoy doing, is attending that Good Friday service that's in around 3 o'clock.
You did mention something. Gabby, you were talking about attending a Way of the Cross and such. And this is something I saw last night. I remember talking to you guys earlier in the week. We had a guest on. We were talking about the Way of the Cross and all the different ways to do it, you know, because they have them all in the evenings and such at all different times. But sometimes what I have done personally, I have my little booklet, or I have it on the phone, of course, the Stations of the Cross. Do your own. If you can't make it, to do your own Stations of the Cross, there's some beautiful, beautiful stuff out there that you can get online and do it yourself. And I saw it last night. I was in the Adoration Chapel over at St. George in Baton Rouge. And while in Adoration, I could see somebody going around the chapel doing it themselves, you know, quietly. Yeah. Just beautiful.
Speaking of Adoration at St. George, did you have your Adoration passport?
I didn't have my passport with me.
Get one
so
there.
I have them. They have them in the back there.
Oh, that's good to know.
I got to do that and get it stamped. Of course, that means I have to go to all the other Adoration chapels. But
are either of you doing Matthew Kelly's consecration to the Eucharist?
I am not.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not.
Mine's going to wrap up on Good Friday.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It is a great book. I recommend it for everyone to really come to know who Jesus is through the Eucharist. And you got a start date, end date, just like consecration to St. Joseph and the glory of our Blessed Mother. So, I'm throwing that out there for those who
some folks,
Damien, are challenged by the Eucharist.
Yeah, some folks are probably saying, look, I haven't even done anything for this Lent. It's not too late. Holy Week's coming up, you know, and it doesn't mean you have to cram or anything like that. Just a little more reading, a little more reflection.
You could start Sunday, on Palm Sunday, journal for a week.
See
what God is
That's
telling
a good
you.
Idea.
Wow.
Put those words on paper and then go back and reflect on
what
it.
What a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is good.
Well, and the Triduum is only a few days, and then we start Easter on Sunday, but we don't stop on Monday.
No.
Easter continues all the way until Pentecost, which is pretty late. I believe it's in, I need to look. I don't know if it's in May or June. I don't have the date right in front of me, but we are continuing to celebrate Easter.
Yes.
So that's a great idea, Damien, to start, especially during Holy Week. If you have nothing going on, or you felt like you have failed this Lent, you couldn't get it right, or failed a few times. I know a few times I felt like that throughout these 40 days. Mm-hmm. Do something extra this Holy Week as well. Maybe it's just attending the Good Friday service or going to the Easter Vigil, which is so cool to see. I know it's a little bit longer, but taking the time to do that as well is a wonderful opportunity.
And the Holy Thursday one is just beautiful as well. The washing of the feet and all, just amazing. Just amazing.
Yes, that is cool. So,
right.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I know. Well,
today is the feast day, if you all remember, of St. Nicholas Owen.
Owen, right.
Yeah. Okay. Not St. Nicholas, the one who brings gifts on Christmas.
Right. Wrong time of year.
Yeah. But this is different. That's why we use his last name, Owen.
That's important.
So we'll offer up a prayer for his intercession today. And we're thankful, yes, Gabby, for the rain, but also thankful for our beautiful weekend we're about ready to enjoy. Mm-hmm. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, we thank you for the witness of your servant, St. Nicholas Owen. Though short in stature, like me.
I like that too.
His love for you and the church was enormous. The heroic love was proven to be tortured, and he withstood and protected the church despite the painful martyrdom that was brought on to him. And may you continue to bless him and us throughout our day. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Amen. Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And please, God, for allowing me to giggle during prayer. But Damien, that was a really funny joke.
A little throw in there.
Hey, you know, it's true. We only do the truth on Catholic Community
That's
Radio.
Right. We're humble.
That's
too.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Humility.
Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in this morning, all our viewers and listeners. Thank you so much, Jeff Blackwell, our audio director, Karen yes. Cotton, our video technical director, for the many movements throughout today's show. It was a really good one, so we're so grateful for you guys. We'll be back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. Sister Mary Lou Specca with Hotel Hope talks about their upcoming Hope Fest. Eileen Harbison with the Cynical on the Lake has updates. Alan Migliorato talks about raising Catholic teens in today's world. And Dr. David Whitten over at FRANU in Baton Rouge will give us a theology lesson. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.